all about. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And you in the Bible means you. And us means us. We means us. They, them, and those are the other group. But every time you find you, if you are saved, if you are part of the true church, then you can put your name there where it says you. The kingdom of God is within you. It's within us. You know, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer. He said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. He was inviting this kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the foundation, of course, for the kingdom is righteousness. We've said that before. You're tired of hearing it, but I must say it again. Without right relationships between you and Him, right relationship between you and others, there can be no righteousness. That's what righteousness is. And without that righteous relationship, there certainly will be no peace. You know that from having walked through broken fellowships. Any of you ever walked through, had experience with broken fellowships? It's about all you can think about. There is no peace. Once those fellowships are set in their right place, right relationship, then you will have peace and you can move into joy. And the joy of the Lord is what one of the things Jesus came to give. He said, I am come that you might have my joy, that my joy might be fulfilled in you. I am come, he said, that you might have fullness of life, abundant life. And he said, my peace I leave with you. The three greatest gifts, you see, that, well, there's just nothing to compare with it. I said, there's nothing to compare with it. I mean, this great salvation is the only thing that really matters. Because if we have that, we're going to take care of the rest of what we need to take care of. We're going to live right. We're going to work for a living. We're going to share with others. But it is so precious to see that this is what Jesus came to give us, is His peace, His righteousness, and His joy. We had talked maybe twice, I don't remember once, of talking about the joy, and you start tracing and tracking a subject in the Bible, and you find more than you can handle. We could never exhaust the descriptions on joy, but there's some I want to really share with you, and I want to go back into the Old Testament. Now, this first one, you may wonder why I'm doing it, and it's not negative, and I don't want to discourage you in any way, but how many of you agree with this, that if it is in the Bible, we have a responsibility to come to grips with it? Amen. Now, if you don't see that, well, stay after class, and I'll prove it to you. I can prove it to you in one of Paul's letters to Timothy. He says, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, for reproof, for exhortation, for correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I want to tell you something, friends. Without the Word of God, you're not equipped. Amen. Let me say this to you again. Without the Word of God, knowledge and obedience, we are not equipped. Amen. Because this is the guidebook. This is the instruction book. The first one, now this pertains with joy. And it's got some meaning that you may not have thought about, but I want you to look in your Bible at the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. The 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. One of the most powerful chapters in all the Bible. Not mentioned a great deal, but very, very important. Verses 1 through 15 of that 28th chapter of Deuteronomy have to do with blessings for obedience. God had given them the law again. God was merciful. God was patient. God's good. He would give them a second chance after they had so blatantly broken the law. He had given them the law again, and Moses has instructed them minutely on what they are to do. 1 through 15 are blessings for keeping the law, and then beginning in 1 through 14, beginning in verse 15, curses on disobedience. Now, nobody likes to hear about curses, but that is a biblical word, And we have to come to grips with what it means in the context where we find it. Verse 15 says, if it will come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord. They're two of the most important Christian words in there, and here again, they're not popular. You know, Christians now, we want to hear something good. We want to get blessed. We want to get entertained. We want to have fellowship. All that's okay. But you don't go to church for that. You don't look at the Bible for that. You look at the Bible for instruction in righteousness. Amen? And we have to deal with all of it. It's not a cafeteria. You can't take this and leave that. You've got to take it all. So this is a very serious, heavy verse. He says, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God and carefully observe to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Then beginning in verse 16, there's the end of the chapter. Now there are more results of curses than there are of blessings. And the reason why is because they so blatantly disobeyed the Lord. They mocked his goodness. They absolutely walked away from his commandments. But God preserved a remnant, because God saw you and me here today, and he saw everybody in church over the earth. He saw his end from the very beginning, so he preserved a remnant through whom he would fulfill his promises that he made to Jacob back on his deathbed out of the tribe of Judah. So I want to share with you verse 47, if you would look at that. Verse 47, and this is where we run into the word joy. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Because you did not serve the Lord with joy. Yes. Well, I could almost say there's not any other way you can serve him.
Not for long.
That's right. Now you think about it. If your joy isn't full in the provision of the Lord, then you can't celebrate. Mm-hmm. Because he is not pleased with a complaining, griping, belly aching, fault finding, murmuring. That was the first sin that they committed, was murmuring. And that's serious, because we can do that too. How many of you have a problem with murmuring? I hope we don't have to have a deliverance service and cast a spirit and a lion out of some of you. You know, if we would just think now, in this nation, we have very little to complain about. And the things that we have to complain about are usually of our own doing. It's some mess we've made. You did not serve me with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Wouldn't that make a powerful text, a Sunday morning text, an abundance of everything? We need to serve him with a glad heart, with a rejoicing spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
I read it somewhere, I can't remember where I read it, about a very old lady who was taken to a nursing home, and she was so full of joy, she just was so full of joy, and the attendant who was taking her said, well, you haven't even seen your room, how do you know you're going to like it? She said, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I rejoice in everything. I thought, what an example. Isn't that a beautiful example of just a rejoicing spirit? Now, as I said, you can't serve him with complaining.
That's right.
Now you think about all the things that God did for them, of all the wonderful, wonderful blessings that he did for them. Look at verse 9 of chapter 28. Look back at verse 9. This is a wonderful blessing. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep his commandments and walk in his ways. Now that is the most blessed promise. He, the Lord, will make you a holy people. And nobody likes to hear this, but holiness is not an option. Holiness is not something you pick and choose off the cafeteria tray of the spiritual supplies. Because Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And let me tell you what holiness is. I got a compliment. Somebody in Florida had heard my definition of holiness, and they liked it. And it's simple. Holiness is a life of obedience to the Lord that pleases Him and blesses others. You said, well, you know, I thought my hair had to be long, my dress had to be long. Let me tell you something. Modesty is not a choice. Modesty is a requirement. So that, don't get that mixed up with holiness. That's just a something that decent people are going to do. Nakedness is a curse. You know that back in the garden? Remember that incident? And you know the people were naked when they were breaking the law? So modesty is not a choice. We need to cover our bodies and live modestly. But holiness is obedience to the Lord that pleases Him and blesses others. You might say holiness and obedience. But God's going to do this. God, these writers here, Moses says, He will make you. He will establish you as a holy people. Well, He will if we let Him. He would have done that for them, but they wouldn't let Him. You know how many times they broke the law and all of those things. I want to, this is the second time joy is mentioned, by the way. First time it's in the 31st chapter of Genesis, and it had to do with Jacob and Laban, and it's not nearly as full of meaning as this is for us. Now, you think about it. With all of His miracles, the Red Sea escape, the manna, the cloud of fire, the pillar of cloud, He did everything that they needed. And yet, they grumbled and they would not serve Him. Now, let me tell you why they grumble. I want you to hear me real carefully now. That is man's natural disposition.
It is.
That's man's nature. But the church doesn't have that old nature. In Christ, all things are new. We are new creations. But we have an obligation, you see, to obey and to live a life according to that new nature. Are y'all following me? Can you agree with that? We throw away the old things. Behold, Paul says, all things become new. So if the old nature was one of complaining, get rid of it. If the new nature of one is rejoicing and joy, put it on and demonstrate it. Because the joy of the Lord, let me tell you something. The joy of the Lord is the most contagious thing on earth. Let me challenge you with something. I want you, this is your homework. I want you to be alert and aware of every opportunity that you have to be a blessing to someone that you don't even know.
Okay.
Open a door. Help someone. Give a word of encouragement. There are a lot of little things, and I have had the most fun. Now, I'm not sanctified and whole, you know, I'm not perfect, okay? Understand? But the Lord showed me that some time ago. Find an opportunity to be a blessing. And when the opportunity to be a blessing comes, do it joyfully, and it will be contagious. And I have had more fun doing that. It's just, that's one. Now, where's another one? I was watching for the guys driving the garbage truck yesterday, and I had 3 big cans, 2 boxes, and a huge flower pot that was torn up, and a great big old limb. Now, you can imagine how much garbage that is. So I was looking for them. They came down the street, and I walked out there. I said, I'm sorry. I have so much today. Oh, he said, that's all right. All right. And I said, well, some days I don't have anything, but this is just stacked up. I'm sorry. We've been doing some work. And he was so sweet. I said, would you like to have a cold drink? Yes, ma'am. I said, what do you want? Cold? Yes, ma'am. So I said, okay. And the other guy was down the street a little ways. And I went and got something for them. And, you know, I have never in my life seen such a joyful expression. I said, what have we been missing? Now, I don't mean you have to, you know, you can't do that every week. You don't understand what I'm saying? But when the opportunity presents itself, let your joy be shared. Because if you don't have the joy of the Lord, then we cannot claim kingdom privileges. See, our citizenship is in heaven. We live down here, but we vote up there for the now or the eternity. Our choices are registered up there. Isn't that a wonderful scripture there that says, joy and gladness of heart. Let everything be done with joy. You know, you have known chronic complainers. You may have some in your family, and you hate it when they come see you. You'd be glad when, you know, you see the taillights. Because it comes. Have you ever, you know what I'm talking about? It takes you a week to survive. You got to clear all that garbage off of you so that you can resume your life of joy. But friends, we're talking to the church. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I want to share this with you, and I hope you won't be insulted. Will you let me share something with you that you don't want to hear? In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at verse 49, now look at it. I want you to really know that it's there. Moses is prophesying to them about 70 A.D. How many of you, you know, a lot of Christians don't, they say 70 A.D. and they don't know what the word you're talking about. 70 A.D. was the time that the Lord brought the Roman army in to destroy Jerusalem and all the temple because the people would not accept Messiah. You say, oh, that's mean. Well, you take it up with him. I didn't write it. I didn't cause it. But he wrote the letter to the Hebrews, which is the most... The book of Hebrews has more in it than any other one book in the Bible. Amen. And he wrote this letter to the Hebrews to tell them that they had a better covenant, they had a better plan, they had a better priesthood, they better, had a better salvation, had a better way, that Jesus was better than angels, everything better, 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 better. Uh-huh. And put it in print. Because there was a time coming because of their disorder. And you see, some of them had accepted Christ, but they were being persecuted. And they were looking back, thinking to go back to the temple where there was no persecution. So the writer, and nobody really knows who it is. Some people say Paul, and it doesn't matter. It is that it is there. He was telling them, and boy, this is for you and me, hold fast the confession of your faith.
Thank you, Lord.
He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Right. Encourage one another,
yes,
so much more as you see the day approaching. Mm-hmm. Now, there are three things that day can mean. It can mean the day of AD 70 when all that was going to be destroyed.
Uh-huh.
It could refer for us the day of the coming of the Lord,
uh-huh,
when it'll be over.
Yeah, that's right.
It could also mean the day that we will leave here.
Uh-huh.
The end results are the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is so important for us to meet and encourage one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can't go to everything all the time. I'm not saying that. But we need the opportunities that we have to meet together to encourage one another. Because we do not know what day something horrible could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Some terror attack. I'm not, you know, I pray not, but we don't know what's going to happen. And we need to see to encourage one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, the reason why I wanted to mention this to you is because you may not have known it was even there, and you may not have realized that this, no doubt, refers to that day. A nation from the north, that's Rome, from afar, as swift as the eagle flies, and they were noted for their military ability. From a nation whose language you do not understand, and they didn't. A nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young, and they didn't. They were very cruel. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain nor new wine nor oil nor the increase of the cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. And Josephus, the Old Testament historian, records that that happened. They ate all the crops and took everything that they could find. It gets worse. They shall besiege you at all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trust come down throughout all your land, and they shall besiege your gates throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall eat the fruit of your own body. Now, do you understand what that is? And Josephus, you see, The Old Testament historian also says that, and you can choose to believe it or not to believe it. That's your privilege. But he says to them, this is going to be such an awful time. And Josephus says that the Jews ate their own children. You shall eat the fruit of your own by the flesh of your sons and your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. Now, if there would be anything, my friends, that should stimulate us to obedience, it should be to realize that there are curses for disobedience. You say, well, what's that got to do with joy? Well, if you go back to the first verse we read, because you did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart. And if you can't get happy just looking at some of the Old Testament miracles, I'll tell you, that Red Sea crossing will make a broom dance. You just stop and think. Dry land. And there had to be 2 or 3 million of them and all their livestock. And that sea parted. They didn't even get their feet muddy. They passed through on dry land. Because God had a plan for them. He had a land promised for them. And the minute the last one of the children of Israel got through on that dry land, the Egyptians started out and the water caught them. And destroyed Pharaoh, his army, and everyone that followed after him. That's in the Bible. Don't look at me like I read that in a magazine. That's in the Bible. What great, wonderful things God did for them. And what great and wonderful things God has done for us when He sent His only begotten Son to suffer what He suffered and to die the death that He died. And Jesus said, reading Hebrews, Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him. Could I get excited? What joy? Us? Salvation? Healing? Provision? The joy of the Lord? The church? The bride of Christ? That was the joy that was set before Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, but He endured the cross. You know, if you just stop and think about that, if you just think about it, that God Himself allowed Himself to become flesh so that He could shed blood, because the Old Testament truth had been established, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Jesus came, John Baptist identified Him, and he said, that's the Lamb of God. He won't cover the sins. He'll take away the sins. And we can live righteously, joyfully, obediently. And the more, I want to tell you this, what you don't, this is ugly, can we pray for me? What you don't have is what you don't want. Because there's enough of Him. He will give you Himself. All you want. God is not stingy. God is gracious. He wants us to have more of Him than we've ever even asked for. Cameron used to sing a little song, I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of Jesus, His great love for me. I want more of Jesus, so I give Him more of me. It has a lot of good theology in it. Can everybody accept this? Nothing else in history of the church, you see, matches this except the destruction of Jerusalem. I want to talk about a few of wonderful verses in the Psalms. Is that all right? You could never exhaust this. I got dizzy just looking at all I found and trying what to do and what not to do. Look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16 says it is a mitzpam, which means a song of trust and joy. Unger's Bible Dictionary says the meaning of it isn't clear, but it doesn't matter what it means, as long as it's David's psalm, and it is a song of victory, Messiah's victory. And I want to share with you verses. This is Psalm 16, 9 through 11. Therefore, that is all because of everything that's been said in verses 1 through 8. Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord before me always, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You know, that is the prophetic utterance of the place of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where Jesus is. He's at the right hand of God. All this is prophetic, looking into the future that David saw and all the Old Testament prophets saw. Everything, and let me say this in case you don't come back next time. But everything in the Old Testament prophets that have to do with joy have to do with the coming of Messiah. Now, you just stop and think about that. Back in the early days of the Old Testament, their joy was manifest in crops and fullness. But as the prophets got a hold of the message, well, they realized that the joy was in the coming of the Messiah. And I shared this with you, I remember, out of Habakkuk. Old Habakkuk said, though the fig tree does not blossom and there be no fruit on the vine, though there be no calf in the stall, yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord my God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And you think about the people who have rejoiced in prison, who have rejoiced in deprivation. I remember hearing Corrie ten Boom. Anybody remember Corrie ten Boom?
Yes.
Her joy was full. Their mistreatment was terrible, but they served the Lord with joy and gladness of heart because he gave them that joy because he was there. Now look in Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, that is because of what verse 8 says, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. On your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, that is about Messiah. That is has to do with the experiences of Jesus. But you see the word joy? In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Well, you know, that could be really binding, couldn't it? Because if he lives in us, if he lives in us, the presence is a permanent blessing, isn't it? So, which means that the fullness of joy would keep us from complaining and murmuring. How many of you find yourself changing a little bit? How many of you find yourself realizing that we need to change? You know, the last thing Peter said in his epistle is grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. And if we're not growing, you see, there's no place for you to stay still. You're going to either move forward or move back. Mm-hmm. That's what the book of Hebrews said. You know, we need to pay more careful attention to the things we've heard, lest we drift away. You see, if you don't have an anchor, you're going to drift away. That'd preach, wouldn't it? Without an anchor, you're going to drift away. So he is our anchor, and we need to grow in grace and obedience and in joy. It's the most contagious thing in the world. Your neighbors will see your joy. Your neighbors will see your kindness. The people at the market will see your kindness and your joy. You all believe that, don't you? That's right. You know, how many of you, and you don't try to be holy now. How many of you get really aggravated at the grocery store, at the gas pump, at the shopping center? Am I the only one? And half a dozen of you raised your hand. Well, you see, it's a real, real problem. It's a real problem to put that down. And let the joy of the Lord and the peace of God that passes understanding come forth. But in the kingdom, it's not an option. You hear me? It's not an option. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Spirit, because that is the third person of the Godhead. I tell you, that gets exciting, you know, when you realize that God manifests himself as Father, Son manifests himself as servant, and Holy Spirit manifests himself as power. And we, in the church, claim to be part and party of all of those wonderful blessings. Everybody all right? I'm going to do one more. Who, me? I'm about to have a fit. Really? Look at Psalm 32 right quickly. We don't have much time. Psalm 32, verse 11. Something very, very, very important in this. Psalm 32 and verse 11. I want you to see that and I want you to mark it and read it again and ponder over it. It's got some wonderful instructions in it. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Did y'all have a little bell to ring? Righteous. Righteousness. See, without righteousness, you're not going to have the joy. If you're righteous, be glad and rejoice, you righteous. If you're not righteous, you can't. You won't. You'll be ornery. Mean. Fault-finding. Condemning. Critical. Sounds like I know what I'm talking about, doesn't it? But see the connection there, please, between righteous, and shout for joy. All you upright in heart, and that means the same thing. Righteousness is to be upright in heart. So without righteousness and without being upright in heart, you're not going to shout, you're going to complain. But the kingdom of God, righteousness, and then peace, and then joy in the Holy Spirit. One more, Psalm 67. I'll get fired, won't I? Psalm 67. I want to read the first four verses. This is very familiar. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. We used to sing that one. Let those who also hate him flee from before him. Now that is those who hate him. That's Messiah. That's God. That's Jesus. That's the promise. If you hate him, you better get out of the way. Let him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And today, you see, we see the wicked triumphing. But the end hadn't come yet. Just hold fast. He's going to do everything he's promised. Sing to God. Let the righteous be glad. Look at verse 3. That's your homework, too. Let the righteous be glad, because righteousness brings peace and joy. Let them rejoice before the Lord. Let them rejoice exceedingly. You see, the joy should be so thick among us that there wouldn't be any room for complaining. Let me say that to you again. Exceedingly. Rejoice exceedingly. Rejoice a big bunch. Get real happy and show it. And you really don't always have to tell it. Your face will show it, but tell it every time you get a chance. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. Woo! That's him. He's everywhere present. He controls, he upholds the nations with his mighty hand. He rides upon the clouds. He sees it's the right hand of God the Father, and he lives inside us. That's unbelievable, isn't it? But it's true. Extol him who rides on this cloud by his name Yahweh, and rejoice before him. You see, that is not an option. That is a requirement. That is a commandment. Everybody all right?
Thank you, Lord.
Are you okay?
Who, me? About to have a fit. Psalm 132. I'm going to read two verses there. Psalm 132. Well, no, 35. I skipped one. Psalm 35. Go back. I'm sorry. Psalm 35. I hope I have my numbers right. Psalm 35, verses 8 to 10. Oh, this is, you know, it's repetitious, but it's fresh, isn't it? Verse 8, Psalm 35, verse 8, let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, that is the wicked, that is who has dug a pit to try to trap you. And let his net that he has hidden catch himself. In that very destruction, let him fall. That's the enemy. And my soul, that's the righteous, shall be joyful before in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Isn't that beautiful? See, these are four statements coming forth of this great salvation that was spoken of, the presence of the Lord spoken of in all, you know, everything in the Old Testament's about Jesus. I said everything in the Old Testament is about Jesus. From the seed of the woman in Genesis to the Son of Righteousness in Malachi, he has an ID. Remember who was in the manger? I hope you kept your copy, because if you don't have a copy, I'll bring some more. There's a name for Jesus in every book of the Bible, and New Testament also. That's what it's all about. The whole Bible is about Jesus. And in Jesus, we are to find joy forevermore. Nothing in the world but joy. See, when we are needy, He is there. When we are lonely, He is company. When we are troubled, He is comfort. When we are perplexed, He is description. He is direction. See, He's all things. And we short-circuit Him so that we don't allow Him to be the thing that He has come to be in our lives. But we'll start with Psalm 132. While you're getting your stuff together, I'm going to read verse 9 to you. Psalm 132, verse 9. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's not the leaders in the church. That's not the pastor. That's not those that officiate the service. I want you to know that you are a kingdom of priests.
Yeah.
If you don't believe that, I'll prove it to you next week. It's in the Bible. It's very clear that we are a kingdom of priests. And that's who He's talking about. Let a priest, everybody who represents God, let him be clothed with righteousness. And all your saints shout for joy.
Yeah.
See the comparison? The relationship, righteousness, joy. You clothed with righteousness, you can shout for joy.
Amen.
Well, y'all better go, I'll keep on. Thank you so much. God bless you.